Okay, here we go, 6 minutes late, we just set the clock back. Proverbs, what's in the Old Testament for us, not to us, that's too Jewish in all those days, and I believe will come into play again during the tribulation, but Proverbs is odd because Proverbs is wisdom. And we're going to pretty much look at fools today. It's hard to take a bunch of Proverbs that most of them are individual bits of wisdom, and yet some of them have 10 verses, of, there's a collection of them too. Sometimes it just goes from verse to verse to verse, and sometimes it's a whole series of them. Look at Proverbs chapter 2. You'll see that the whole entire chapter kind of is one big chapter, and yet it can be broken down into 1 to 14, I think it is, and or 1 to 9, and then 10 to, you know, it kind of depends on how you look at it, I suppose, 10 to 17 or 18, but the whole thing deals with it. And then you'll also see that there's an awful lot of my, or me, or whatever, and I see lots of places where people have applied it to God, and that's okay, because, I suppose, because he wrote everything. But when you look at it real close, it's wisdom that was talking about. It isn't necessarily talking about God, it's just talking about wisdom. And so, with that in mind, you realize that sometimes, in my past, as a recognite or whatever, that I've seen some of these Proverbs applied to God. And, for example, the chapter 1 there talks about laughing. And I understand that to a point, where it says, I will laugh at your calamity, I will mock when your fear cometh. When you keep going through the whole thing, you see that really who's talking there is wisdom. It's just wisdom. And I know God is wisdom, and the wisdom is of God and everything, but it just changes a little bit of what you see and what's going on here. And rightly dividing is a huge key to understanding Proverbs. You can't just go through Proverbs from the beginning to the end and try to apply all that wisdom, because you've got those contradictions again that everybody finds. Look at chapter 26. And all I can tell you is just read through the Proverbs. But what can we get out of Proverbs? I want to just lay the emphasis on you that it still needs to be rightly divided. And if you don't understand rightly dividing, then that understanding will not transfer to wisdom in Proverbs. For example, chapter 26, verse 4, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him, which is good. But then look at verse 5, answer a fool according to his folly. So what do? You've got to have some rightly dividing, you've got to understand the situation, and that's where understanding comes into the situation, then a little wisdom. You're either going to answer the fool or you're not going to answer the fool. It isn't something that you just blankly apply. So we have to watch for that problem in Proverbs. Now look at chapter 19, which is why I suppose some of your Proverbs that you read don't make a whole lot of sense to you until another couple of years later it starts to make sense. So you just read through them, and that understanding will turn into wisdom. Proverbs 19:21. We see that there are some proverbs that there's quite a contrast in there. There are many devices in man's heart. Well, that's true. But just the opposite, nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. So what man comes up with quite often is just the opposite of what God comes up with or says. So you see a lot of proverbs with that kind of an application. And look at verse 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction, right? Hear counsel and receive instruction. Why? That thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. So then we see proverbs that have a consequence or a result. If you grasp onto the first half of that proverb, then the second half can take place. Then also another way here is Proverbs 16. Very figurative flowery language is what I like about King James Bible. His metaphors and similes are really pretty neat. Chapter 16, verse 24. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Nope. Is that what that is? Okay, 16:24. Let's see. 16, sure it is. 16:24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Oh, I see. Oh, okay. And health, okay. Yeah, that right. So, what, 1920 the same way then? No, 1920. 1920, that's from 1920. Yep, okay, good. How do I do that? Anyway, so there's like three kind of proverbs in our little proverby book here. And the problem, for example, not being able to rightly divide proverbs even, look at Proverbs chapter 26, verse 3. 26, verse 3. And I'll show you some verses here how you could become a legitimate Bible-believing child abuser. Proverbs 26:3. The last part of that verse is a rod for the fool's back. Well, my kid's acting like a fool, so I get out the rod. Look at 19. Look at chapter 19. Got a lot of verses to cover. We'll just, it's a book of wisdom, individual wisdom, so we can't touch each one. But I bet you've got some underlying that means to you there. Proverbs 19:29. Judgments are prepared for scorners, and stripes for the back of fools. So here's where you can justify striping or spanking or rotting or beating or whatever your children. Look at 13:24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Okay, look at chapter 22. So if you love your children, you'll get out the rod. Those stripes are for the back of fools, rods for the fool's back. And now Proverbs 22, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Well, yeah, that's true. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. That's what it says, and that's, you know, it's got its value. Look, 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far. So what do? You continually beat your kid until he's teenagers, and what do? They leave. Is this a problem? Is this goes against the scriptures? Here's one that I heard justified, and I really, it was just amazing to me, but once I start to see it, look at chapter 20. Look at chapter 20, verse 30. The blueness of a wound. I figure black, blue, whatever the colors would be, I bet you, boy, I tell you what, you must have a lot of evil to cleanse away. The blueness of a wound cleanses away evil. And I've heard parents say, I'll whip them until they're black and blue. And so describes the inward parts of the belly. You can smack them there if you have to. Look at chapter 23. And we've all seen these verses. And we've all responded to them if we responded correctly. Proverbs 23, verse 13. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. I'm not going to kill the poor kid. It's good for him. After all, that's what I got when I was a kid. Look how good I turned out. End of the thing, you know. Verse 14. Thou shalt beat him with a rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. I wonder how many kids have been beat to hell. Because they don't want it, they don't buy it, they get out of it, and when they're done, they leave, and they're going to hell when they die. It must be that we don't apply these verses right, or are they okay? Are we not just, maybe because it isn't working, maybe I'm just not beating them hard enough, because the Bible does say this. Look at verse chapter 29. Proverbs 29. Verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom. Oh, okay. You need some wisdom, Austin? Get over here. Maybe, you know. But a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. Now, you mothers will go along with that. But I wonder how many children sometimes, or young people or whatever, are trying to do right and need to be left alone because the mother won't let them do right. I mean, there's ways of looking at these things, right? You see what I mean? To obey a parent. A child obey a parent, which you need to do. I mean, don't get me wrong, you guys. But how many parents have taught their kids wrong? Morally wrong, scripturally wrong, spiritually wrong, modestly wrong, verbally wrong, horrible example. And that's a tough call to make. Now, with those verses in mind, look at Proverbs 17:10, though. See, we got a conflict here. Proverbs 17:10. So they got all these verses about hunking on your children because they're not obeying right. You can even black and blue them up a little bit because it'll help them. Beat that evil away from them. But then it says in 17:10, a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. You can beat your kid 100 times and not get anywhere. Kid maybe doesn't even understand anything. I mean, it's just the foolish. So we got a conflict here. Look at chapter 10, verse 13. Are you hot? No? Are you hot, Sue?
Not yet.
Not yet, okay. Proverbs 10:13, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. I wonder sometimes we haven't spanked our kids and all we needed to do is talk to them. I mean, there's so many ways to look at this stuff. And this is why we have to have an understanding before wisdom comes up. Even have to have knowledge. Do you even know where these verses are at? Do you know where these other verses are at where God deals with us without beating us? Because we know for a fact he doesn't beat us today. But the Old Testament, you know, he hates the word beat because he didn't beat people. He just followed through with his holiness, and that's what had to take place. What's happening today? Does he follow through with his holiness and things have to take place? Yes, he does. It's just that Christ paid all the penalty of what he expects. Didn't change anything yet. And as a result, we are very spoiled, rotten, little bratty little Christians because we never get chastised. Is that what you want for your kids? It's tough stuff, really. Because every kid's got his own personality. You know, right, Sam? I mean, Sam's the roughest one in the family, probably. Probably got to work on him more than anybody. Awesome. He's probably just got a halo on his head. If you can see it, there'd be a halo there, wouldn't there, Austin? Halo. Anyway. So you see the conflict that's in Proverbs. I just read it and grab it onto it right off the bat. And I've been guilty in my pastoring and preaching and even parenting. Now, let's go down to chapter 17. Another way to look at this stuff in Proverbs. There are some things in Proverbs, I just love how God speaks. And I like how he puts it in the King James Bible. You read a different Bible, you know, a lot of those verses in these modern Bibles kind of say the same thing. Some of these, they don't they? A little bit? They're not horribly off in some cases, but don't get me wrong. It's just man's rewriting of what God said, and that took the Spirit of God out of there, and it's just written from man. I realize that. But I just like how I read things in the King James Bible. They're just so God. Look at chapter 17, verse 28. He says things so much better than we do, or than I do. Verse 28, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. 17:28. You know, whenever I just sweat because I know that I've done this so many times, had the wrong verse, and then I don't know where it's at. So, okay, good. So, even a fool when he holdeth his peace is kind of wise. So how can a fool be wise? Be quiet. You're not sure you're a fool? Practice and just keep your mouth shut and see if things get better. I just like this stuff. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. So Sam, just zip your lip and you'll just be treated so well at that house. You'll be a man of understanding. Sam doesn't say anything. He's a man of understanding. How can Louis always talking? Don't go there. Right? I mean, that's pretty good wisdom right there. Now, it gets even better. Look at chapter 29. Oh, yeah. Go to chapter 21, I mean. 21. I didn't mean that it gets better now, but this is still a good verse, though. Chapter 21, verse 9. Don't even know where to look when I read this one. It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a white house. Or I guess you could say then with a white woman in a brawling house, but then that's not good either. Look at chapter 23. Well, I started sweating on that, right? Yeah, gotta get it in twice, just in case. Ours is in here too, though, ladies, so don't feel bad. Chapter 23, verse 21. Now, there's a whole series here about alcohol, what it does to you. 31, chapter 23, 31, here we go. Look not upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. That's later on, if you get into the drinking. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. And you do that when you're drunk. You don't have any idea what you're doing. Inhibitions. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea. And then picture that thing. It's just what happens. Or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. And that can happen to people like that. You can do anything you want, and you can't even, they don't even know it. When shall I awake? And then what? I will seek it again. To get up and do the same thing the next week or whatever. That's marvelous stuff about the drinking deal. Well, we just got so much more to catch after 10. You probably got your favorite Proverbs, but this is my show, so I do mine. And just picking through this thing last night. Chapter 10, verse 23. I like the first part of that thing where it says, it is as sport to a fool to do mischief. And then if we look at these verses about fools today, think of the young people, the young adults, if you would call them that, that are traipsing, especially the guys. Look at how they look and look at how they behave. And they have to be frumpy and messy and ugly, and the hats are crooked, and they got this look of just pure stupidity. Just zero humanity to something. I hope you recognize this with guys. It's just the guys today are and they're mischievous. They're mischievous, and they're fools. But I want to tell you, for a lady to marry one, I think that makes them even more foolish. But I just help you there, you know. But so as we read through these verses about fools and this verse right here, it is as sport to a fool to do mischief. They enjoy it. I mean, and it's cool to them. And now we did our stupid pranks. I mean, I did maybe one or two in my life. LD and you guys probably did more. I probably did a few. My pranks were pretty simple, and just trying to show off to the crowd. But boy, what they're doing today is just—it's just amazing. It is a sport. I was scared to death doing my dumb little things. And these kids today—I mean, this is—they just enjoy walking up the alleys and knocking over the garbage cans. Tough guys that can take on a garbage can. You know, it's a tushy game. But we see them growing up around here. We know in a couple of years, we're going to all be armed even more so. So anyway, this is sport to them. This is sport. Look at 17:7. Excellent speech becometh not a fool. Right? 17:7? That's good. I like that. Excellent speech. They don't have to talk right at all. Excellent speech becometh not a fool. Okay, how about 24:7? Wisdom is too high for a fool. I like that. Wisdom is too high for a fool. And in another chapter it says, a fool uttereth all his mind. Do you ever run on anything to talk about? You know what's happened. Your mind, you've uttered your whole mind. You've just claimed yourself as a fool. And we all know this, and I have to put in the notes anyway, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Couldn't there have been a better illustration? No, that is a marvelous illustration. And when you see a dog, you all got dogs, and they throw up, and they really do go back to that. You've seen your... They do, they go back, and they just... It was good the first time, it's probably just as good the second time. I don't know. Cats do that. See, God knows how to use... Dogs are biblical examples here, and cats are just creatures from hell. I know they are. Yeah, they are. Same thing. Any dog that yips is from cat country. Okay, look at 11:22. A fool going back to the same old thing. And then here we've got 11:22. I suppose this is underlined, just everybody knows. Be careful here. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman, which is without discretion. It's just, God is so brave to write what he had written, you know. But, fair woman, you know, it's a fair woman, and without discretion. Like a jewel in a boldness and a pig's nose. But don't park in that, okay, I won't. Look at chapter 30. You're getting quiet. I'm just throwing you some neat verses that are written really well. everybody is just like, I'm really sweating up here. I don't know why. It's just, I don't write this thing, LD, you know? Just realize that the verses that have the consequences, now it's not a guarantee, but you still want to do the wisdom side. See, next week we're going to look at the wisdom aspect of it. Maybe that'll help. Because right now we're just picking fools out of a crowd. And you have to realize the consequence thing. You have to realize that there's some things in here that are just have to do's or else. There are some things that would be in here that we've done things and we haven't seen the wisdom get the result. In fact, there's places you'll do wisdom, you'll do the right thing, and you'll get in trouble. How are you going to deal with that? Well, you got to understand understand that we're in a spiritual kingdom, that there's going to be, back to the consequences again, will be spiritual rewards. But today, you may take a horrible hitting for horrible, what do you call it, a horrible hit for doing right or following some proverbs. And yet the reward is still coming. And the same thing with, if you don't do the wisdom thing, how come I'm not getting the results of that? Well, we'll talk about that in the sermon this morning. God is not mocked. But he doesn't make everybody pay today. You get your judgment seat if you're saved, and you got your wife's own judgment if you're not. And the wife's own folks are just having their work stored up. You know? And so, yeah, God is not mocked. They'll bow to him eventually. They have to bow to him today. And so we pull this wisdom out of our Bibles, and we try to make some of these things work. I mean, you pull that thing out of there and you want to just beat your kid, I'll beat the hell out of him. So that's what that verse kind of says. And I've seen more and more kids, they're going to hell now because of that. It was not done properly. What's proper? Look at the Gospels. Well, they can't look at the Gospels. Look at Paul. How does Paul deal with that? You just never spank your kids again? Is that what we're getting at here? That's where we get it. We go to the street the other way, too. You end up like me. Spanked very few times, and I should have been spanked a lot more.
That way in the Old Testament
days. What's
that? Well, spank
your kids.
Well,
they kill them if they kill their kids.
Well, yeah, they had
that's a thought.
To the authorities.
Yeah. And even had families. The one that bothered me the most is when these guys were tossing a guy, I think it's a fire story. It was a Daniel in the lion's den. I forget which, I think it's the furnace thing. I had one of those stories where the dad went to work and did wrong. So God not only killed the dad, but the family went with him. I can just see the kids going, Dad, what is this? Why do I have to go for what Dad did? God says, hey, listen, you pay for what Dad sins and pass on down. And we say today, well, that doesn't happen. Yeah, it does, because our spiritual example is passed on to our children. We die spiritually, we have a bad example or bad testimony as a father or a mother, that can rub off onto our children. But God isn't going to purposely take your problems and put them on her. And when you get fired, she gets kicked out of school the same day. That'd be kind of a joyful thing, actually. You just go camping for a couple of days. But we don't have that put on us today. So you just, haven't you read Proverbs and you read that and said, well, that's just not true. That's just not true. That's just not true. But it is true in a certain place, certain time. And remember, there's dispensations. I mean, there's Old Testament stuff, which is when this was. You got the gospel time. I'm sure there was wisdom in there for the gospel days. You got Paul's time. You got the tribulation coming up again. Well, we don't, but I hope you don't. And there's some of that wisdom will really make a whole lot of, it'll save their lives in the tribulation. So yeah, we might see more of that as we go through the wisdom, and I'll think about that as we, maybe I can throw some more thoughts as I think about it. God, I'm not sweating and dripping up here. Because I want to get to the rest of the stuff here, if at all possible here. Here's another one here. Did we do chapter 30, verse 21? I think that's where we left off. But just look where it says in 21, for three things the earth is disquieted. And there's a couple there. Look at the last one of 22. A fool when he is filled with meat. I wasn't looking at any special reason, Sam. I just was pausing for the effect, but not to you. You give a fool a bunch of fantastic information, chunky information to live on or to think about or whatever, and they could really mess up this world. I mean, that's what's going on. So look at politicians. Here they got a bunch of meat to deal with. The world, the way it's going. And what are they doing? And they're messing up the whole earth. The earth is disquieted. So there's ways, you know, take a verse and think about it a little bit. I like that. Odious woman when she is married and a handmaid that is heir to a mistress. These are things to think about. Anyway, a fool when he's filled with meat. Look at, here's a good one, chapter 26. This would go along with why sometimes our conversations go the way they go sometimes. Proverbs 26:20. For no wood is the, there the fire goeth out. Well, we know that. Jimmy, we know that. If there was a forest fire, if you could quick cut it all down. Right. If you could have every tree planted with a, like we have sprinkler systems in our buildings, if you could put a little salt on each tree, control from the federal office, so if there's a forest fire, hit the button, trees fall down, and you put the fire out. Because all the fire goes on the top and the wood's down here. See, there you go. Put that in. Much better chances than your cartoons lately, it seems like. Sorry about that. Okay, so, but like it says, where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. So who's causing grief? Maybe that's why some people kick me out of their lives, because I just seem to still be causing grief within the family. And if we can just get rid of him, the wood's gone, the fires go out. There we go. No looking around for them. Just take your papers. Okay. But I like that. And you get into a conversation with somebody, husband, wife, or something, and what if sometimes you think that you're adding fuel to the fire? You've heard that, adding fuel to the fire. You know, so just goes back to where if you got a problem, keep your mouth shut. Right? And don't add more fuel to the fire. And what do fools do? They yak and they add food to the fire. I like 25:14. It says, oh yeah, go ahead and look it up. I shouldn't tell you all that it's taking too long this way. Proverbs 25:14. Whoso boasts himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. The music store man two days ago at Costco said that he hadn't done much with the piano, but he asked God to give him the ability to play piano. And so he was telling all about how good his piano and how it's fun doing piano and wants to minister and worship God with this piano, the skill that God gave him. Well, if you sat down and watched the guy play piano, I'm not sure God gave him a whole lot. I mean, he just wasn't there. And I'm not criticizing the guy other than the fact that he was bragging on the fact that God gave him the ability to play piano. I'm sorry, but you have to practice. It's just what you have to do. And he's falling for this modern worship. So we know where he's going with his little musical thing. But he's like clouds and wind, but there's no rain in there. There's just nothing there. Very thing. I just like that. Here's one. Hast thou found honey? Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit. I remember telling that to some of our Bible guys here a number of years ago. I said, you know, you got so much Bible in you, but you're just kind of don't know what to do with it. And you kind of spew it out on people and it hurts them and it kills them, and you can't do that. You walk up to somebody, you can't walk up and give them all the honey you've been able to take. You know? I think Chloe just learned to eat was solid stuff. Is it liquidy solid stuff? Yeah, they got a spoon in there anyway. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, we can eat a big meal. I would love Tony Roma's. I mean, Tony Roma's ribs are very good, so are the cheesy ones, I guess, over there. And, yeah, I can't give that to Chloe. It's not that I ever wanted to. Just that some old parents walk over their babies really close. I don't understand that. So, we have to be careful, even this Bible. You know, we learn so much. And we have to be careful. They don't spew it out on somebody and it's just, shoot, have you ever had a baby throw up on you? It's just dismissed, not the neatest thing. So, stuff like that. Here's one, you know this one. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee, and so hate thee. I have a hard time with that one. I bring Mary along sometimes because she's the one that says, you know, we need to get going. It's like 12 o'clock, we got school tomorrow. Otherwise, I stay at your place and just yak with it till you're yawning and stretching your feet. And I suppose we should wind this down, right? Yeah? Okay. Have you seen this in chapter 12? I enjoy that. I'm trying to leave. When you have me over, I'm trying to not wear myself out, wear my welcome out or whatever. That's the proverb there. Maybe let's say some of you hadn't had me over for a while. I was over there so long, you hate me now. Weary of me. And then one more here, two more, I guess. As snow in summer, which people down in San Diego don't know what this means, but as snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. I mean, snow in the summer is out of place. Yeah, harvest, I understand that rain is not a cool thing. I run out watching you guys' faces on Sunday morning when it's raining, a beautiful smelling rain, and the kink is coming out of the rain. or Carl or Virginia or something. And it was a beautiful rain. No, it just ruined a whole hay crop. So it doesn't fit. Well, honor and a fool just don't go together either. And then last one, chapter 23. Chapter 23, verse 1. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, and that's not one of those mass rulers, this is a king kind of a thing. Have you ever had sat down at the table with a ruler, Olivia? Danica? A little 12-inch long ruler? That's good, because we're not supposed to do that. Consider diligently what is before thee. What are you going to have when you go eat with a king or somebody, some high politician or somebody that's taken, just kind of a thing? Oh, man, put a knife to that throat, it's going to be a man given to appetite. Because you could eat it all. Amen? That's why you need to carry a knife with you. Go to some folks' homes, I'll tell you, I used to be able to eat so much and I can't anymore. That's probably good. I mean, no, it's not good yet because I don't quit trying yet. I have to get to the not try stage. Then you read that thing. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich, because see, now you want to live like he does. Cease from thine own wisdom. You know what happens? We take our children to all this fancy smancy stuff, and then they grow up wanting all this fancy smancy stuff, and we've actually heard them. So the moral of the story is, eat at diners. Don't go to the fancy places, because that's what they want. Marry a woman that wants to eat out at the fancy diners all the time, but the fancy places? Gianni, do you like eating for fancy places? See what you did? See what you did? Your husband does. Poor guy, better make a lot of money. Yeah, see? There it is. Oh, yeah? Joni? Wisdom. No, one out of two isn't bad. They can't eat a Burger King. Can't go to Burger King. It says right there, he was a ruler. Anyway. Here we go. Then, without looking at the references, I don't even have them on here. Here are some words I thought that come up a lot in Proverbs. Wisdom, obviously. We'll do that next week. Understanding, knowledge, of course. Hypocrite is in here. Of the just. See, are we just? Is our just based on our works, or faith, or whatever, see? Fool, foolish mouth, forward mouth, of foolish mouth, of wicked mouth, words of the wicked, fruit of his mouth, my or I referring to wisdom, lips, tongue, righteousness. See, in the Old Testament days, they had to walk righteously. They had to walk righteously. So, walking righteously brought them the results of what that verse in Proverbs says about walking righteously, or as a just person. Today, we have his righteousness. So are we righteous. In our walk, not always, yet he's made us his righteousness. So maybe that's why sometimes we get the blessings we get, and why sometimes we don't get the response we think we ought to get for doing right. So father's in here a lot. Father's instruction is in here a lot. Listen to the parents. And of course, that's to be true. But boy, wouldn't you think that the parents had a little bit of biblical wisdom before they demand their children to follow them? It's a tough line to follow. Now, there's also some things that are directed to fools directly. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools hate knowledge. Fools will die for want of wisdom. Shall be a servant to the wise of heart. The wise ones will be the servant. A fool layeth open his folly. A fool will make a mock at sin. A fool rageth and is confident concerning evil. They're confident. They're strong. But it's wrong. They despise their father's instruction. They despise their mother. A fool has no delight in understanding. They just want to make money, I suppose. And a fool uttereth all his mind. Now, God has some direction, has some advice for a fool, in case there's any fools in here. He says, be of an understanding heart. But here, I like these, just listen to this one here. And it says, a prating fool shall fall. Okay, what's prating? Prate is to talk too much, without weight, or no purpose. It says to be loquacious. Okay, so what's loquacious? So I get up, look up loquacious. Loquacious is talkative, given to continual talking, speaking, noisy, apt to blab. 18:28, you're apt to blab if you're loquacious and disclose secrets. You just start talking and you realize why shouldn't have said that. So, an advice to fools is a fool is going to fall. And one of the reasons is a prating fool, because he's talking too much. And he has nothing behind what he's saying, and he just runs on and he blabs and gives away secrets and the whole deal. It's like, now Dave, there's no way you can be a prating fool, because I tried. I tried to find out some of the secrets of the government actions, and you won't tell me anything. That's good. I don't know how you do that. I really don't. Wouldn't it be exciting to tell somebody some of this neat stuff that you know? These government agents, they're just too well trained. If Christians could be as trained as a government agent, it would be all right. So see, he also says here, mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. The fool's wrath is presently known. The heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. It is abomination to fools to depart from evil. Now, thinking of these kids out there, I mean, they think it's crazy to quit doing what they're doing. The folly of fools is deceit. This is good. Remember, Rick from your stuff on letter sounds? The foolishness of fools is folly. That which is in the midst of fools is made known. The mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Mouths of fools feedeth on foolishness. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. This is good. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. Does that make sense? A fool is talking to the point, getting such an argument going, such contention going, that you just want to punch the guy. And that's what he deserves. His mouth calleth for strokes. Isn't that wild? You ever looking at your kids and talking to them, and you just, you're still arguing with me, son. And your hands kind of doubling up in the way. And that's just the mother. Heart of the foolish, that's not dispersed knowledge. The heart, a fool is the calamity of his father. Every fool will be meddling. That's my job, though, so don't put me in that category. I'm supposed to snoop around. Wisdom is too high. Honor is not seemly for a fool. A fool trusteth in his own heart, uttereth all his mind. The prosperity of fools will destroy them. What's happening to America? Our prosperity is killing us. America's become a very foolish nation. This all fits the son of this wisdom. And shame shall be the promotion of fools. Promotion of fools is shame. They think it's great when they're dirtier, crummier, grubbier, or whatever. But they become more of a fool. The shame is actually, hey, I got promoted. I'd be more scuzzy than I was yesterday. I just hope you don't have to do that. Now, he has advice to us. Because, see, we're not fools. So advice to those that are not fools. It says here in chapter 9, forsake the foolish. All the stuff is on the website if you want to study this thing. I think it's a neat study. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple, knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city. I would imagine sitting at the door of the house means they're going over the door thing. To call passengers who go right on their ways instead of in the home. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. As a foolish woman is clamorous. Okay, what is clamorous? Speaking and repeating loud words, noisy, vociferous, loud, turbulent. Okay, what's vociferous? Making a loud outcry, noisy. Now what does America have today? A nation full of clamorous women. A foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. You got a bad son? Got a bad kid? It bothers mother more than it bothers dad. Remember how we did that thing in Proverbs on the study of how mother and father react to the same child's problems? Marvelous study. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. So when you lie to your parents, you're actually hiding hatred towards your parents. I remember when I first read that years ago. and we do the sports thing here, we'll throw that foot, and I won't do that twice. Okay, then lastly here, we're running out of time here, there's so much more in here. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? Too quick? There's more hope of a fool than of him. I'll save that one for another time here. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. I wish our kids could learn that. If you see somebody that's foolish, stay away from them. Kids, girls, Austin, Sam, Zach, someday, girls. If your parents say somebody's fool, somebody's they're foolish. They're not the kids that hang around. God says, okay, that's wisdom. Don't hang around them. Even if you like them, they're not good for you. Oh, there's just, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools, shall be destroyed. That's wisdom on fools. There's more. And it's on the website if you want more. Well, it will be this afternoon anyway. Next week, we'll look at wisdom in Proverbs.